Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by a longtime friend, Nick Ovalle. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here, Nils.
So we're going to dig into, there are a lot of interesting facets of Nick Ovalle that I've gotten to know through the years. One, he is the author of, and I've got his book here, The Storytelling Heart. And so we want to talk about story and how that intertwines into ministry and social media. But then also want to talk about your role at Sandals Church and what you've been learning there and doing there. So for those that don't know, Nick and I worked together at Community Bible Church for many years. Nick led our social media and creative and video and all kinds of things. And so Nick, we've probably been friends for about 5-6 years now. And so it's been fun to follow your journey, be a part of your journey and see where God's leading you now. So Nick, let's start with you. First, let's talk about you personally. Tell us who you are and your background spiritually, personally.
Gotcha. So I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. I was born and raised. My family was always like in church, you know, that was a thing. But when I became like at the age of 13, 14, I just really decided to do my own thing. And that led to a lot of heartache, you know, for multiple years, for about 7 to 10 years. Just being, really stubborn and wayward. And then what really culminated my journey back into church was a breakup. I was dating this girl and really wanted to marry her, and things just didn't turn out in the way that I expected. From that, I really, really thought about, hey, what really matters? And then I looked at church in a whole nother light, because I had a lot of pain and I had a lot of, suffering for, a 19 or 20 year old. And then just reading what the gospel had to say about suffering and pain. And it was just this beautiful poetry that I really started to enjoy. And from that point forward, really started to get interested in technology and how that fits into the church. David Crowder came out with a CD, and on the CD, he had a program called Reason. And I put that into my computer, and there were some of his songs in there, and the stuff that he was doing just blew my mind. So I just started, playing with computers and was in the worship space, and then moved over to video. And that's kind of how we met.
Yeah. And I remember we actually met several years before we worked together with Warren Beamer in San Antonio, and you were building a website for the work he was doing. And I was, I remember being blown away then. And then when we reconnected several years later through our mutual friend, Jaime Puente, it's been fun to, and then you and I, kind of pioneered online ministry together, social media, kind of early days when it was like, is social media really something churches should invest in? Now it's kind of laughable. But then I remember too, you, when my book came out and you did all the video work for that. And we, anyways, it's been fun to pioneer so many different things. And the trips we've gone on together. There's so many things and stories we cannot share on a podcast, but let's talk about then your role at Sandals Church. What do you do, and how did that come about?
Yeah. So, Sandals Church, it's kind of a weird story. October of last year, I got a tweet from this guy, his name's Justin Party. And he said, hey, I really like, the stuff that you've been doing with podcasts, the stuff you've been doing on YouTube. And he said, I want you to come to Sandals Church to help us with our podcast. And it's called The Debrief. And so he sent me the rundown, and he said, there's also two other job positions I'm looking for. And one of them was something called an online platform lead. And what the online platform lead, that's kind of what I gravitated to most because of my background in video. And what this is it's essentially taking the concept of like Netflix or Right Now Media and then creating a specific video content around our vision and our mission. We have a vision of authenticity. And what we really want to do is we really want to push this idea of being real with ourselves, God, and others. But we want to do it in a way that people are attracted to, that there'd be eyes on this platform. So we've been taking some cues from Red Bull TV, the way that they have laid their platform out. What we're trying to essentially do is just bring in as much attention to our vision as possible, and hopefully, create, fans and followers from that.
That's awesome. So tell us, it's most church leaders and pastors would not invest in this direction and definitely not emulate something like Red Bull TV. What tell us maybe some of the what's core to that? Is that your senior pastor that really has a vision for that? Is that Justin? Where does that vision come from, top down, to empower you in that way?
Definitely. So I think it starts with our pastor. Matt Brown is a really innovative guy. He reminds me a lot of Robert Emmett in the way that he communicates and in the level of transparency. But one thing that really sets him apart is that he's willing to try new things. And so with the staff, our staff, we have some of the most creative people. You know, from our worship leaders to our creative directors, they're really wanting to push the envelope. I think it was DJ Chuang. He shared the dbrand manual. We were in medium.com, like we were kind of a buzz in the like marketing space and in the design space, because we decided to dbrand. What that essentially means is we were going to take a risk, and we were going to go ahead and take our logos out and let just our vision speak for itself. And then the font face and just everything that we did typographically and everything we did visually was going to be very, very open-handed and plain. So that way you could really see it's not about how we look. It's more about what the content is. And because of things like that, we've been able to really innovate in some cool spaces. One is our kids ministry came out with a full-length movie called The Wild Library. And when I saw The Wild Library, I was blown away. It's visually, it looks really, really good. They've sent a team of videographers to India for something they called Christmas in India. And just the footage and just how much they were willing to invest in story just really kind of told me that they're putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to story. A lot of churches talk about story, but they don't resource story. So when I saw those things before I even got here, I knew that this church is really serious about telling great stories.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it's so good to hear that, because knowing you and knowing your background and hearing that vision fits perfectly. That concept of debranding, I've never heard of, but it's fascinating and almost goes against everything that I know and have been trained in, but I love it conceptually. Let's talk about the platforms. Let's get practical of what is, you know, and so you're the online platform lead. What do those platforms look like? Is it website? Is it apps? Is it social media? What are these online platforms that you're working with?
Definitely. So we're still using the large platforms. You know, Facebook is going to be huge, Snapchat, Instagram. You know, those are really large platforms that, you know, we can go to and we can really talk about our mission and our vision, and people are going to be attracted to that. But what we've decided to do is we've decided to, we have like these, our funnel, our marketing funnels in three parts. And one is the really large top. And that large top portion is it's kind of like our megaphone, is where we kind of say, hey, this is our vision. This is what we're all about. And the platform that we're currently creating, it sits right there. So does social media. But when we drill down, our next step for our marketing kind of funnel is our website. And our website's purpose is to get people to a campus. And that we really, you know, that's what we really value is people showing up and being part of a community. And then the final part is something we like to think of is like a whisper. Because we have the megaphone at the top, we have, you know, a conversation in the middle, but at the very, very bottom of our funnel, where we have people who are committed to our vision, is people who are willing to essentially pass notes in class. And so what we did was we created an app. And the app itself, it's just called Real. And what it allows us to do is stay connected with those people who really want to, you know, be invested in our mission and our vision. And along with that, at the bottom of that funnel is the Debrief podcast. It's weird because it kind of sometimes sits at the top, because people tell us all the time, hey, we heard about you through the podcast or through YouTube. But it also sits at the bottom too, because that's where people really invest their time. It's an hour long podcast and you know, people are really listening. So that's kind of the strategy on how we use platforms as like a marketing funnel to create fans.
Yeah, let's dig into the whisper side. I love that that funnel, and I want to go back to the top of social media too. But on the app and the debrief, let's start with the Debrief podcast. is that debriefing the sermon, or what is the content that drives the podcast?
Definitely. So there's two pieces to it. And the tagline for it, I really like, it's real questions to your real answers to your 12 questions about the Bible. And so what Pastor Matt does is he kind of says there's no topic that's taboo. So send it in and we're going to answer it. So if it's anything that, you know, has to do with, you know, sex or racism or anything like that, we're going to be honest and we're going to be real and we're going to try and answer that. And then the second half of the podcast is diving deeper into the message, the things that he probably couldn't get to, but are still very important for people to hear. That's kind of the DNA of the podcast itself.
I love it. So is it conversational, or is it just the pastor walking through that? Do you do an interview style with the pastor?
Definitely. Yeah. So Justin Pardee and Stephanie Schaefer are the hosts, and it's really good. It's a great mix because you get a lot of conversation in there. I think, you know, being a podcast with one or only two people can kind of get difficult, but having that third voice really helps steer the conversation. And yeah, so it's a good mix.
Yeah, I love that. And so with this, I mean, as you're putting out content and you're wanting to move people into attending a local campus, I'm assuming that a lot of people globally or even outside of Southern California are finding the content. Where do you direct them? Where do you move them in the funnel?
Definitely. So sandalschurch.tv is kind of our online church platform. We're using the church online platform from Life Church. Yeah. And that's where we're pushing people to. Sandals was really... It's really interesting because it's a fast growing church, but the tension was that there hasn't been a lot of attention to like the social media and to, you know, growing the online presence. So a part of my job is Sandals Church TV. Essentially what you did at Community Bible is kind of what I'm doing here for Sandals Church TV, just making sure that that's running, thinking, how do we leverage online groups? You know, how do we engage people in the online space? And you know, that's going to be, that might be disconnected from what we do on campus, but that's okay. And so a lot of our staff is really getting on board with this idea of, oh, we can reach so many more people. And that's essentially thinking about creating content that is made specifically for them.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And then let's shift to, yeah, it's fantastic. So that everybody you're engaging has a point of connection and kind of a next step of where to engage. So let's talk about the app, you know, the real app. Is that kind of it's a community-based app, or you using tie-ins, you create a login. What do you do on the app? How does it work?
Sure. We're kind of going through a second version of it right now. It's only for iOS, but the idea was to have a point of contact where all of our pertinent information and, you know, some media could live. So it's a really, really simple app. It only has about, you know, four categories. It has our homepage, which kind of lets people know, hey, these are some new things that are happening. It has our media, which is the debrief and the sermons. And then it has the notes feature, and the notes is interactive, and you can take your own notes within our app. So you can follow Pastor Matt along, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're on Sandals Church TV or you're live. You can actually fill in those notes and have this interaction. And it's a little bit more personal than maybe, you know, the Bible app, you know, because you can still have those things, but it feels like it's made for Sandals Church because it is. And people, you know, they gravitate towards that.
Yeah, I love that. I think apps are one of those things that a lot of people have said. They have almost down this path of like apps are really not for churches. And I totally disagree with that. I think they are more complicated. They are more expensive. They are probably not for every church. But I think the perception is that everybody sees anything online as an evangelism opportunity or a way to grow your audience. There's too much friction with an app for it to be a front door for your church, but it is an incredible engagement opportunity. So I would say I love how it fits into your funnel, where social media is at the top, the website, and even as you identify those platforms, social media being the top, website in the middle, the app and the podcast being kind of there at the depth of engagement. Apps done well had done that path. I've been working a lot with PushPay and the eChurch team lately, and what they're building around the engagement app is so much of what you're talking about. And so I'm sure they're watching what you guys are doing as well as, you know, they're continuing to build technology for the mass, you know, churches to engage in deeper community. And I think that's what apps done best are doing. That's what you see with Facebook and what, you know, Justin Dean and I actually just had a debate recently about apps, and we argued, you know, are apps dying, you know, and are apps dying for churches, and or is app engagement dying? And the reality is more people are engaging with apps than ever before, but they're engaging with fewer apps than ever before. And just because that's the case doesn't mean your church doesn't need an app. It means that you have to prioritize how you utilize that app. It can't just be your website in an app format. So that's my soapbox for the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'll kind of add to that real quick. I think it's important that you allow your church's philosophy to really push how you use the technology, because so many times people will tell you this is what YouTube is for. And well, you know, that might be true in their context. You have to think about your context, your philosophy. And then once you start to do that, it's a lot easier to be authentic on those platforms. And this is what you have to offer rather than trying to mimic somebody else. And I think churches, like, they just have to realize their DNA, it's important and it's special, and just lean into that instead of trying to copy what, you know, the big people or the big churches are doing.
Yeah, that's so good. One, I think some of the technology historically has been, if you want an app, it has to look the same as everybody else's app, because that's really the only opportunity out there. And there are more opportunities now with technology. It's matured to where you have more opportunities for it to fit your structure rather than your structuring adapting to the technology. Well, let's move to the top of your funnel with social media. What does that look like top of the funnel wise with social media? How are you using social media?
Definitely. Our social media manager, she is fantastic. She is one of the best. She came from a background of like purchasing advertising. So she really understands the whole, the market side of it. So with that said, our idea is one, to push stories when we can. Two is to let people know that we're here, because it's still, you know, even though 52% of our audience is global, there's still a large chunk of our audience that is in the Inland Empire. We have about 5 campuses, about to go to 7 campuses by the end of the year, within a concentrated area of Southern California. So we still want to have people go to those locations. So that's really a driver in social media as well. And then the other thing is, you know, whenever there's events, we want to let people know, hey, you can come check these things out. So it's not too terribly different from whatever else is going on. But what really helps is having like the Debrief podcast. It allows us to have just even more content to pull from. So that's you know, it's a unique space, because not a lot of churches have podcasts in that area. And then finally, our video team is fantastic. They're great at capturing and telling stories in a very visual way. And that happens, you know, quite a bit on our social media as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's diversify. And I want to get into story, because that's core to everything you're doing. But let's talk about the platforms: Facebook, YouTube. I heard you say Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, or maybe kind of the big 5. How are you guys prioritizing those platforms and differentiating those platforms?
Definitely. So let's take Facebook, for example. It is, you know, the largest. It's somewhere where your church should be. And what we're doing is we're kind of, you know, playing to our audience. We can actually see the demographic of who's watching that. So our content is partially driven by attracting people who would match that demographic, but at the same time, really infusing this idea of our vision of being real into everything that we really put out there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the overarching, hey, this is Sandals Church as a brand. But then when we start to drill down, especially like things like Instagram, we get to be a little bit more show a bit more behind the scenes. A lot of what we do has to do with how people feel when they come to a Sandals Church. And our photography along that really drives the point of community. So it's a lot of, you know, we have a coffee shop in every location, and it's a lot of what we're doing at what we call the depot. It's our coffee shop. And it just lets people know that there is this human element of, there's going to be a conversation that happens when you're at Sandals Church. And Instagram is a great platform for that, because visually pictures can communicate that. While Twitter, you can't necessarily say that, hey, there's going to be a conversation at every location. That's not what it's for. Twitter's more for that conversation. And you know, that's what we use the debrief for if they have people have questions. We also use the website. And so there's different platforms have a different kind of feel or a different kind of context. And we just want to be intentional that whatever we're doing on these platforms matches what people are expecting there. So yeah.
I love that. So, and we're going to get into your book and story. People that want to find out more about Sandals Church, where do they go to connect with Sandals Church and check out some of these sites?
Definitely. If they go to sandalschurch.com/connect, there should be, it says, let's be friends. That's where they can check out all their social media. And sandalschurch.com/watch is where you can kind of get a feel of, the kind of conversations that we're having at Sandals. We just got through a series called Back to School, and it was just a wild ride of, you know, how wisdom fits into our life today. And I've never laughed so much because there's this idea of, you know, sometimes churches have to be stuffy, and, you know, we're communicating some really deep, hard truths. But what I love about Pastor Matt is he's able to find the humor in it. And sometimes it crosses the line of this is probably inappropriate, but that's okay. And so it's a fun experience.
I love it. You might want to get the domain inappropriatepastor.com.
We should.
A little tag to engage and connect. So let's talk about your book here. So I've got The Storytelling Heart. Tell us more about this book, where the idea came from, and why story is so core to you.
Definitely. So, going back to my story, when I kind of entered into the church space, I also started working at Apple Computers. And Apple was this great education on why story is important. One of the things they did was they told their origin story. They told, the staff, hey, this is where we came from and this is how we do things. And Steve's story was really a part of that. The second thing that they did was they also taught me how to sell computers, but to do it in a way that is story-based. So when a customer comes into an Apple store, they are notorious for asking the good questions that drive the narrative forward, meaning like, what will you be using this computer for? So what happens in that person's brain, they start to imagine themselves using that computer, like, oh, I'll be using it for music. So then you talk about the benefits, and what you do is you tell them a story of how this improves their music. Or if they're a teacher, you can tell them, this is how you can improve your presentations. And so what Apple has done is they have really allowed their hardware and their software to help tell those stories for those narratives for people's work and for people's pleasure. So once I saw that, I kind of thought, wow, this is a really interesting way to sell, because it doesn't feel sleazy. It doesn't feel forced. I don't feel like a used car salesman. I'm just letting people know, hey, if this is your dream, Apple Computers can help you do that. And then once I left Apple and I started to get into the church space, what I realized was that those things weren't within the church space. Mm-hmm. Another great thing Apple was great at was giving feedback. We had something called Fearless Feedback, where we can have conversations with each other, and they could be hard conversations. But once I got into the church space, it was very difficult. It was devoid of those three things. Churches didn't tell their origin story. Churches didn't tell how their services or how their vision would impact people's lives in their own narrative. And then the final thing was churches weren't very good at feedback. And feedback is a story in itself. So what I hope to do is to kind of take those elements. And the whole premise is that the story that we tell ourselves, our internal narrative, and the story that we tell ourselves about the world are the two biggest stories. And what I do is essentially break down Joseph Campbell's 12 steps. It's like 17 steps. What I try to keep it 12 steps of how we can change our internal narrative. I enjoyed it. And it took about 3 years to write. But it was it came from I wanted to be the best videographer I could possibly be. And what I realized is that I couldn't compete necessarily with people who had red cameras and people who were shooting on Aris, and they have cameras that are $20,000. The computers to run these cameras, you just can't compete. But what I realized is that a good story, even though if it might not be the most visually appealing, is going to trump that really high quality video that doesn't have a story. So in order for me to inform my own, cinematography and being a filmmaker is what I wanted to do, I accidentally stumbled onto story and realized, hey, this is something that the church is missing.
Interesting. So, So story is core to your job right now. I actually just watched Apple's event, and I felt like, you know, people started crying over the Apple Watch because they told that story so beautifully. So I'm hearing that as you're talking about Apple and the way they tell stories. It's like, I just saw them do that. It's fascinating. And I think, I see that where the church maybe needs to tell more stories, but I think practically, so you're so creative by nature, and this is where you and I are wired so different. Like where I'm the like structure systems guy, and you're the creative guy, and I'm the one that creates boxes, and you're the guy that breaks out of them, you know. And so how does a church practically need to think about telling stories? What are we missing?
Definitely. I think we have to ask ourselves a very important question: is what matters most? And when I look at the way that Jesus handled, what mattered most was he leveraged story so much so that when you look at the parables that he told, those parables are still told to this day. And the interesting thing about those parables and those stories is that they're not limited to just a set of rules. Because when you have like rules or a spec sheet, you can't grow past that. But what narrative allows you to do is it allows you to revisit the story. And because your life changes over a lifetime, your point of view of that story changes. So story is this like vehicle of communication that allows us to grow no matter where we are in our life. And, you know, those stories change because our perspectives of those stories change. So if I were to tell a church, like, you know, you have to drill down and you have to tell stories, your origin story is very huge. If I would recommend a book, it's called Primal Branding by Patrick Enlon. And what Patrick does is he talks about the seven key elements that make these brands just irresistible. And a lot of it has to do with story. So telling that origin story, you have to have a starting point. The second thing that churches need to do to be better at storytelling is embrace the pain and embrace the tension. A lot of churches try to erase the tension and they try to ease the pain. And what that does is that almost comes off as kind of fake. And it really sends a message to other Christians that if you don't have it all together, there might be something wrong with you. But if we can be really real about our tensions, if we can have this authenticity and this transparency about, hey, these are some struggles, what we don't realize is that actually elevates the story. We don't want to see a movie about somebody who has a perfect life. That gets really boring. We want to see people struggle. We want to see them, hit their pain points. But the most important thing is that we want to see them overcome. And that's another thing that story does, is it allows us to take problems and it allows us to break them down and imagine a proposed solution. So that's really important, is that at the end of the day, churches' stories have to have a solution that other people can repeat. Otherwise, you just told a story and nobody can grow from it. So that's kind of like my three things that I would tell churches about getting into storytelling. And we can get practical too, if you want to jump into some practicality.
Yeah, well, let's get practical. Let's talk about the medium of telling stories. Is, you know, so naturally my mind goes to video. Is video the best medium? I know there's other mediums, but where would you recommend church leaders start when it comes to the medium of telling stories?
Definitely. For the medium of telling stories, I would say the most powerful thing you have is your voice. And what I would tell pastors is that they have to be like their chief storyteller. They have to be the ones who tell their origin story. But what's most important is that once you kind of just study a little bit of the structure of story, it makes storytelling so much easier because there's an ebb and there's a flow and there's rhythms to story. So one thing that I would do is, one of my favorite storytellers is Malcolm Gladwell. And what I love about Malcolm Gladwell is he does this very specific thing in a majority of his books, is he starts with one story. Then he breaks down the science of that story. He doesn't finish the first story. Then he comes and then he tells a complete second story. And then he ties the science and the first story back into it. So if I was a pastor and I was communicating to a congregation, what I would do is I would look at however I communicate, and I would infuse a story at the very beginning. And what I would do is I would make sure to have a tension point and to leave that story at the tension point. Then I would talk about scriptures. I would talk about God. You know, Andy Stanley has a great book called Communicating for a Change, and he lays out, you know, a good structure of how to communicate. And then when I would come to the close, I would tell a whole nother story. But what I would do is I would tie that story back in with the first set of stories. And this is really important because what it does, the more stories you have around a concept, people are going to walk away from and say, the main point of this was, and then they have a story to share. And that's important because whenever we tell stories, we just really embody them and then we can tell them. That's not the same with facts and figures. If I were to tell you the facts and figures of your computer or the facts and figures of your phone, those things kind of go away. But the thing that you remembered from Apple yesterday was the stories they told about Apple Watch. And those are probably stories that we could tell about, you know, with the one-legged Olympian and the grandmother who travels the world. You have this tangible thing that you can take with you with the story that sometimes isn't there with the facts.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And boy, if you're looking to hear a good story told, go listen to Revisionist History with Malcolm Gladwell, that podcast. It's story after story, and it speaks to exactly what you're saying, Nick. And I think and if you're looking to even give your pastor direction on how to tell a good story, now that's a hard thing sometimes to do for many people that listen to this podcast. But it is a new, especially with these new online mediums. I think that we often want to, and I love what you're doing with the podcast, is we want to basically just take the sermon and just put it out there. And I think there's great use for the sermon. Make the most of it and get the most of it. But some of it is recapturing it in a different medium as well. And whether that's for audio, whether that's for video, whether that's for written in a book, there are so many different mediums. And I think you have to adapt to those mediums, but telling a good story is key, and it's an art, and it's not something you just accidentally or just hope you get good at. You have to work on, you know, to improve and develop. Well, what, Nick, other practical advice would you give to church leaders when it comes to being a good storyteller?
Definitely. I would say learning is huge and trying new things. So Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath is probably the number one resource that I would point people to. It's such a good resource that Google actually took their whole process and they made it a part of their slides presentation on the Google Docs. So you can actually go to Google Docs, and if you want to make a great storytelling slide, there is a slide deck that was made by Chip and Dan Heath from that book. The second thing I would tell church leaders is, you know, see what other people are doing in this space. Austin Stone has a great mission story podcast. That's great. There's a storytelling, there's a church storytellers group on Facebook. It's led by Brian Mann, and Brian is an amazing storyteller in Houston, Texas, you know, who's just doing some really good stuff. He has a website called Tell More Stories, and that's a great starting point, especially if you want to be doing videos, because in the church space, that's very, very difficult because you don't necessarily have a big budget, and, you know, you can't travel as much and you can't tell these, you know, huge visually appealing stories. But what you can do is you can drill down to the human aspect. And that's what I love about what Brian is doing in Church Storytellers, is he's trying to bring that human aspect. And then the final thing I would say is there's a resource, it's called Plot Devices. I mean, it's something called a story clock. And this is great for advertisers, for marketers, for just people in general who want to kind of infuse a bit of story into what they're doing. And the story clock is essentially an idea that that everything is kind of cyclical. And if you can embed like these ideas at the beginning, then when you come to the end of telling your story, people feel psychologically satisfied and they're more willing to lean into what you're doing. You know, so I think there's another podcast, Story Brand, with I just went blank.
Donald Miller.
Donald Miller, yes. His is very good for practical business storytelling. And the church could use some of that, but you know, those resources are you know, probably like a easy toolkit for, you know, somebody who wants to get into story or to visual storytelling. That would really be helpful.
Yeah. Well, this podcast will probably include the largest list of show notes of any podcast we've ever done. And Nikki's resources are so good. And I'm, you know, I've got a long list here of like, man, now my whole evening is taken. Because I'll be digging into so many of these different things and probably buying several books and downloading lots of podcasts. Nick, thanks so much for taking the time and investing in church leaders and leading the way with stories and storytelling. We're in the show notes. We're going to have links to Sandals Church. We're going to have links to where you connect with Nick online. And we're going to have links to Nick's book and some of these resources we've talked about on this podcast. So make sure you go to socialmedia.church, get the show notes, check them out, click all the links, and start accessing these resources and start telling better stories.